I think it's fine.
I have some questions here.
Oh, how many?
One, two, three, four. Oh, no, there's more in the back. Six, seven.
We do few, and we do few in somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Just do three.
Oh, that's one question. Oh, okay. Given that pleasure is actually suffering, what should our relationship to pleasure be? What are some beginning contemplations to turn our minds from seeking satisfaction in pleasure? What about the pleasure of having done something virtuous?
The pleasure, whether you call it pleasure or happiness, the point is that is very temporary. It's not saying that it's not good to have that happiness. It's not trustworthy. It will soon change into unhappiness. That is the point. If you are very hot, then opening the windows or switching on AC is a method. Point is not that you shouldn't do that. It's not saying that you shouldn't turn on to AC. Does that answer?
Mm-hmm. So what about the pleasure of having done something virtuous?
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Like having pleasure of coolness.
Mm-hmm.
If it gives mental satisfaction, that's good. But the point is, that is not the ultimate pleasure, right?
So another question. You said that ignorance of cause and effect can make you go blank. Can you give an example?
No, I can't. Go blank, just like switching off the lights. The ignorance you know, ignorance, there are ignorance and ignorance. Whenever you see the word ignorance, it's not always the same. So ignorance in this point, at this point, is that something makes you unclear, your mind unclear. It prevents the clarity of your mind. Mm-hmm. And then?
Next one is, what is the distinction between devoidness and no self? Do they both refer?
Oh yes, okay.
Do they both refer to all?
Okay, okay, that's good. And we stay on that.
Yeah.
And then the rest we will do.
Okay.
Actually, I want you to explain this.
Yeah, I forgot.
But I forgot. We said devoidness?
Devoidness, yeah.
Devoidness. I suggested to use devoidness to differentiate from devoidness or emptiness. Because usually emptiness means the ultimate reality or ultimate truth to be realized. But this one is also, the Tibetan word is Tongba, but it's not the same as Tongba Nyi. So here, okay, self or Atma. How many of you have heard the word Atma? How many have not heard? Okay. You have not heard the word Atma. Atma is Sanskrit word and it is very very much used in all philosophical context in Indian tradition. Okay, Atma. It is like soul in what do you call?
Christianity?
Yeah. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, I think all the religions, they have this idea of Atma. Atma is Sanskrit. In India, it is very much used. Every occasion, they use Atma. Even illiterate people, they manage to say Atma. They would say, okay, our body will be burned, but Atma will go. Everybody uses that. So, Atma is important point. Whether there is Atma or there is no Atma. From the point of view of Buddhist philosophy, the first thing is there is no Atma, okay? But Atma, when people say Atma, what kind of Atma they are talking? This is investigated. And all the non-Buddhist, that is earlier tradition, philosophical, spiritual traditions of India, before Buddha came, they talk of Atma, which is distinct from body, which is indestructible, which is absolutely permanent, such Atma must be there. They all agree. Okay? Permanent, single unit, and independent. Takwa, Chikpuwa, Rangwangwa. You know? Can you repeat in English? Takwa, Chikpuwa, and Rangwa.
Rangwa means independent. Distinct is what you're saying for unitary.
First is Takwa.
Yeah, and then permanent.
Permanent. Yeah. And second?
That Jik mean? Jik?
Jikbu.
Jikbu means like unitary.
Okay, unitary. And Rangwangwa, independent.
Independent.
Such Atma does not exist. Buddhists say, that's what Buddhists say. All Buddhist school of thought, they say there is no Atma. Okay? Got my point? All the Buddhist philosophical thought followers of all the Buddhist school of thoughts, they say there is no Atma. There is no Da. Da is Tibetan word for Atma. Okay, now here, Tongwa means there is no such Atma. So, the absence of such Atma, a lack of such Atma, such self, okay, is called Tongwa. That is what all the Buddhist schools agree. So that kind of Tongwa, that kind of devoidness is the first one. That's why we said devoidness. Devoidness, devoid of what? Devoid of such Atma as I described, as asserted by the earlier spiritual traditions of India. Okay. So next is Dhammapa, no self. No self in this case among the Buddhist philosophical thoughts, we mentioned four: Vaibhashika, Satantrika, Chittamatra,
Chittamatra, mind only.
Yeah, but Chittamatrata or Chittamatra?
Chittamatra.
Chittamatra. Chitta means mind. Matra means only. Only mind exists. Nothing else. Of the four school of thoughts, Bhaveshika, Satantrika, Chittamatra, they, what do they say about self? they talk about a selfless, they talk about no self. But when they say no self, I'm generally, very roughly speaking, when they say no self, they are mainly denying the such self as asserted by non-Buddhists. Okay? They say there's no self. But then they also say there is base of person. Because after the death, something should be what? Going to the next. What is that? Some say it is the mind stream. Mind stream goes to the next. Some say, no, there is a special consciousness called Alaya Vijnana. What's the English?
Fundamental consciousness.
Quincy warehouse.
What's that?
Warehouse.
Oh, warehouse. Oh, storehouse.
Storehouse consciousness.
Storehouse consciousness.
Sita Matrins, they say there is something called warehouse consciousness. When we commit virtuous and non-virtuous deeds,
predisposing latencies. Predisposing latencies.
I wish there's shorter one.
tendencies. Sometimes.
Okay. Something remains. Something remains. If something very smelly food or drink is used in a glass, even you throw that thing away, unless it's washed very well, there's some smell. Like that, there is something left. And where this is left, that is on that kind of consciousness. Okay. Now, from the point of view of highest philosophical thought, Madhyamika, we just say Madhyamika. Within Madhyamika, there are two, but I think it's, for the time being, it's enough to say Madhyamika, highest way of thinking this in philosophical way. They say there's no such thing. In fact, there's no need to have such entity which goes from one birth to another. Because there's no such thing anywhere. Such thing which is independent on others, self-existent, do not exist. Okay? So I don't know, I spoke clearly. Non-Buddhists, they talk about Atma. And when they talk Atma, they try to find. They think it's nothing to do with our body, our aggregates. Pumbu, you say what?
Aggregates
means what? There are five aggregates, five pumbus and panchaskanda. So pumbu, aggregate, what does it say to you? Collection. Collection, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I feel we can just say body.
Yeah.
Body is physical body. Mm-hmm. But then the consciousness and feeling, all this can also be said body. Mm-hmm. No?
No. Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Not physical,
it's
mental.
Body means something put together, an organization can be body. You form an association, that is a body.
But it's not physical.
Like in that way, we can also say body, but anyway, we stay with word aggregates. To some people, it doesn't mean anything, and to some people, it means a lot. Aggregates. Non-Buddhists, they try to find Atma outside of aggregates. And lower Buddhist thoughts, they say there is no Atma, but there is something which is the basis of person or anime or animal or whatever. That is within. That is that they try to find from within. Like mind consciousness or straw house consciousness, and things like that. So from the Prasangika Madhyamika school point of view, these things also do not exist. That is Shunyata. So from the point of view of Prasangika Madhyamika, they are also kind of Atma. So the lack of the first kind of Atma is we use avoidness. For the second, Dharma, no self. I don't know if that was clear. You repeat once. You explain.
Rinpoche is saying that when we're saying using the word devoidness, then that is talking about the general understanding of Atma. That all the earlier traditions of India asserted, which was an Atma that was, or soul, we can say maybe, distinct from the body. It's mm-hmm. indestructible, permanent, unitary. So when we say devoidness, it's just talking about all Buddhist schools agree that that does not exist. So devoidness. Then when you get to the idea of no self, there's another kind of, we can think of it as a kind of Atma, really, that's asserted by the three lower tenets, but not by the higher tenet system. So when you're talking about this second kind of Atma, as Rinpoche is referring to it, then that is a basis for the person or
labeling as person.
Or, yeah, some kind of basis for labeling person. There has to be some kind of basis. And so some of them say it's the mind consciousness. Some of them say it's the storehouse consciousness, or warehouse consciousness. And there are different assertions, but all of those are kind of like another way of saying Atma, really. They're trying to explain what is it that's going to the next life. So, but then when you get to the Madhyamaka, they say that all of those assertions, that some kind of a basis for labeling person, those, all of those do not exist. There is no such independent basis. So there's no basis of person. So then that one is called no self, that idea that rejects any kind of basis for labeling person.
Yeah, that is briefly what I can say. I know it's not easy way. It is not easy to understand, quickly understand. We talked about reset, there are five or six root, what? Afflictions. There are five or six root afflictions. We talked about attachment, we talked about control, we said hostility, we talked about pride, we talked about this ignorance, and fifth is doubt, tetum. What is tetum or doubt? This is doubting. Normally, we say it's doubting about, for example, a law of karma. Doubting about Buddha Dharma Sangha. Doubting about four truths, etc. Doubting. To have doubts is the fifth affliction. So this is I have some difficulty here. Doubt anybody will have, and in a way doubting is a starting point of searching. Without doubt, how can you go ahead? Right? Tetsum. And but tetsum, there are three kinds of tetsums, doubts, danger, danger, and chanyombe tetsum. How do you say in English? Danger tetsum, danger tetsum, and chanyombe tetsum.
One that is not tending to the fact, one that's tending to the fact, and one that's split between the two.
Oh, yes. Tending. Huh?
Yeah, tending to the fact.
Okay, that's nice. Tending to the... One is nearer to the... going nearer to the fact. One is going against it. One is in between. As we say, sitting on the what?
Sitting on the fence.
And to think, oh, all these four truths, Buddha, Buddhahood, all this, it cannot be true. That is the furthest not tending to the fact, okay? Then they are not very much interested. Those people are not very much interested to listen about such things, four noble truths or four higher truths, whatever. They say these are just some ideas. Then, if you think of one person coming through, and after some time that same person may think, well, let me think about it. Let me think, and do some reading or go to listen people to talk. And then the same person may get an idea. Let me see. It sounds strange, but who knows? Kind of thing. Then he further goes further searching about the truth. Then he thinks his doubt turned into the nearest one. Thinks it makes sense. But let me study further. So there are three stages. First is not attending to the truth, and next is in between, and the last is tending, coming nearer to the truth. Now here, this doubt here is the first one, thinking that, oh, it cannot be, I'm not interested, kind of thing. So that doubt, not tending to the fact. Is this one, the fifth one. The function of this affliction is to block entering into the path to the liberation. These are five afflictions. Five root afflictions. Then there are five towers. If you count all the five towers, five views here as one, then that would be the sixth. So I don't know whether we have time to go through these five views here. Okay, we'll go through quickly. Five views. These five we mentioned, they are called five non-views because they are not views. Then there are five views, tawanga. Okay. The first is jigsola tawa. Viewing on the aggregates, trying to find, as I said before, trying to find the I from within the aggregates. That is the first view, wrong view. This makes you think and cherish I and mine. I and mine. And then always. Because they always try to find that I or mine from within your, say, body, your aggregates. So I is the most cherished thing. Because I is important, mine becomes also important. That's why in many countries you say I can do this. How do you do here? Here. Mm-hmm. I. But Japanese they say I. You know that? Patashiva. I asked why. They said nose is in the center of the face. And this is the center of the whole body. So we say I. And they do this. It's the center of the face. What does Shiva means I? Okay, that is the first. The second is viewing on the extreme let us say not extreme. Viewing on the ends. Two ends. There are two ends. One end is to take the eye is permanent and it will stay on all the time. It's permanent. The other end is when we die and people die, eye is also perished. So people, that kind of people, they are very much afraid of death, because death is the end of everything. Death is end of person. So there are two ends. So viewing that is called tauta. Viewing, what do you call?
Viewing the extremes. Yeah.
Extremes, okay. Yeah. Second. The third is Tawa Chonzi. Holding on your views. We have this view. It came to you as a tradition, or somebody told you, or your guru taught you. This kind of, we say, wrong views, but holding on to that, thinking that is the best view. That is also a view. Thinking that is good view, is another view. Tawa Chonzing, holding the wrong view as what? Good view. The next is Chuchim Tang to Shu Chonzing, holding on the conducts and religious disciplines as the best, my tradition, like what? you know, not eating food from other houses and things like that, and putting ashes all over, and extreme penances, penance, like torturing yourself.
Self-mortification is one, or asceticism.
Torturing oneself,
yeah.
You know. You'll find many if you have gone through Kumbh Mela. How many of you have been? There are people who, sadhus, whose one foot is tied up. He stand on one foot, but he has a base and something to lean. And he gets food, but he never puts one leg down for years and years. And then the one, one foot that puts down becomes like foot of elephant. And the other one gets dried. But it is very important for them as a discipline. So holding on that kind of discipline and conduct. And the Jains, have you heard? The Jains, they are most successful business people, the lay people, industrialists. The monks, they are extremely, you know, what you call, ascetic, yes, ascetic. They are within, there are two sects. One sect puts on very thin cloth, the other, they don't put anything, it's completely naked, all seasons. Like that, and then they sleep, and they don't wear any clothes. Puts I think some dried grass, something on body. That kind of thing, holding on, this kind of thing. Do we have five? Yes. Four?
Four.
Or five? Okay. Somebody tell me one by one.
Viewing on the aggregate.
Okay.
Viewing of the ends.
Ends, okay.
Holding on to the wrong view.
Mm-hmm.
And holding on to the idea of religious rule as being the best.
You're right. What is the fifth? Jita, Tapa, Jita, Tapa, and Loka.
Asceticism or torturing oneself?
No, Jita, Tata, Lokta. Yeah, one is Lokta. It's a wrong view, generally wrong view. This Lokta, you will see this letter. There are five views and five non views. These are, anyway, the main afflictions. We are talking about Kunjung Denpa. We are talking about the truth, the second truth. Kunjung Denpa. Kunjung. source of all troubles. And we said there is le and nyomo. Le is karma, nyomo is affliction. We are talking about affliction. This fifth is lokta. Generally, there are two kinds of loktas, wrong views. One is kundechi lokta and dondochi lokta. Kundechi lokta, there are two kinds of loktas, wrong views. One is holding something as non-existent, which is actually existent. That's one kind of lokta, wrong view. The other side of that is holding a view on something as existent, which is actually non-existent. That is dondok. That is another kind of wrong view. Okay. We have this five non-view and five views. I'm talking about afflictions. It's important to remember, to note and remember there are many causes of rising these afflictions, but mainly there are three. You have not abandoned the root, the seed of these afflictions. That is one cause. The seed of all the afflictions are very much within your, what? Within yourself. And then the second is the object of the affliction is nearer means it's accessible. Whether it's attachment, if it is attachment, whether it's a person, whether it's furniture, whether it's car or anything which is easily accessible, that is another immediate cause. That is the main cause. In the scriptures, it talks about easily accessible object of afflictions, attachment, or hatred, or anything. So, earlier lamas, they suggested, it's better to be, to keep away, to be far away from these objects. It's more important to do that than trying to meditate. That's one way of saying. But then these days, it's not easy. It's almost impossible to keep away. Everything is accessible through various mechanisms. So to apply the
countermeasure.
Ah, to apply countermeasure from within is said to be more important than trying to run away from the object. Okay? That is second. You made it close. The third is Chulmin Yiche. How do you say Chulmin Yiche?
Improper attention, something.
Okay, improper intention. Anyway, proper or improper, yeah. Improper, yes, actually. Thinking about that again and again, if it is object of attachment, thinking about the image, the shape, the voice, etc. If it is furniture or car, thinking about again, you know, the color and how beautiful it is, thinking again and again, again and again. That is a cause of attachment, and similarly for hatred. Think again and again, or this person has said such and such things sometime back. Yesterday again, I met him and he said this. And this morning, he saw me and he looked in a very different way. So you think again and again, then your contour. Hatred will be increased. Okay? This much about nyunmon or affliction. Le or karma, due to afflictions, we engage in karma, action, deeds. For that, we have an intention, motivation to do such and such things. Good or bad, there is intention. Intention at the time of cause, like thinking tomorrow I will do this. And tujikuma means the motivation at the time of committing. So due to this, you act, you do something which is karma. Whether it is a good thing or bad thing, it's karma. Good things like giving alms, helping others, and many other things. Bad things, harming others. All these are karma, committing to karma. In short, attachment, shedan,
hatred,
and ignorance. These are three commanders of the army of nyomo, affliction. Any deeds performed under their command is non-virtuous deeds, any deeds which is not controlled by any of these three commanding in chiefs is good deed, virtuous deed. It's called Swanam Gile, Swanam Maimbele, Niuvele. Can you say that?
Yeah.
I drink some water.
One is meritorious or karma, the other is non-meritorious karma, and the third one is immovable karma, perhaps?
Immovable.
Or unfluctuating is another.
Mm-hmm.
People say like that, unfluctuating karma.
Okay. This may be new for some people, the third one. The what was the first?
Meritorious.
Oh, meritorious deeds are those deeds with good motivation, and the deeds are beneficial to others. For example, they are more meritorious deeds. And the opposite of that is non-meritorious deeds. Unmovable deeds. Is the deeds which is the cause of taking rebirth in higher realms of celestial beings. Celestial beings. It's not particularly higher states of realization, but the deeds which throws you up there. In the realms of devas or celestial beings, there are many levels of celestial beings, and the lower among them, the lower ones, they are like human beings. They have all the desires, etc. And above that, they don't have any desire. They don't have any worry. They don't have any sense of sadness or anything. They don't need to eat anything because they can remain aeons of aeons enjoying in samadhi. So the deeds, certain deeds, makes you take birth there. That's called unmovable. So what is to be done is after knowing what is wrong deed and what is the right deed, what is affliction, what is not affliction, what kind of deeds are created by afflictions, what are not, recognize this, and then as soon as we recognize something, it's important to recognize immediately, oh, I'm going to commit something which is out of non-virtuous, non-meritorious thought. Then one, it's important to try to stop. And it is said that it's important to recognize the afflictions as enemies. They are said to be the real enemies, the inner enemies, because they can harm us much more than ordinary enemies. So how the karma or the deeds are committed? Because this view, we talked about the view on aggregates. We have this holding very tightly on I and my. We do things, we take action to achieve happiness with this I and to this mine, my relatives, my family, my countrymen, my etc. And normally, such deeds are non-meritorious deeds. Non-meritorious deeds are normally done for the pleasure of this life. People commit such deeds of non-meritorious nature. They do this for the benefit of this life. And what about meritorious deeds? Meritorious deeds also. Because I want to be born as better human being, if possible, in other realms, celestial being or whatever. Anyway, so if you do good deeds, giving, etc., giving alms, etc., that's meritorious deeds. Is it good or bad? Is the question. If one asks, is it good or bad? It is good because it's meritorious, but it is not enough. But we keep it there. Then those third kind of people seeking the pleasure out of samadhi, meditation related to the higher realms. They seek higher rebirth, but higher rebirth in celestial realms, and they have no idea of being beneficial to others. They are concerned only about themselves. So they are seeking the pleasure of samadhi, pleasure of meditation, if you like. Because there is pleasure up there, it's believed, okay? Sova deva.
Form realm. Huh?
What?
Sukha deva?
Sova deva.
Yeah.
Sova.
Oh. Sova. What is it? Pleasurable feeling. Yeah, pleasurable feeling.
Seeking pleasurable feeling in the celestial realms is one level. Then people go, these are not Buddhist practice, not necessarily. Non-Buddhist, they also do this. And then they get tired of that. You know, first is generally people seek the pleasure of desire realms. Good food, good image, good facility, that is in the desire realm. And people get bored of that. Some people, those who want to go, they seek only the pleasure of samadhi, pleasure of meditation. They take rebirth. Up to third samadhi. And then after some time they also get tired of that pleasure of samadhi. So they want to seek another kind of occasion, maybe not pleasure. Panyum.
Equanimity.
Sova tanyum.
Yeah, a feeling of equanimity or a feeling of impartiality.
Yeah. Feeling of impartiality, maybe. Everything is equal. They can also achieve certain states without touching to the root of samsara. But at some point, sometime, maybe very long, after very long, many eons, they have to come down. So, what we are supposed to be doing is to seek the liberation from all of this. Not only desire realms pleasure, but also the samadhi realms pleasure. And equanimity or impartiality state, go beyond all this and get liberation. That should be the main aim of the practice. Okay. How much time we have?
20 minutes.
Oh. Okay. Let us do something. We are talking about deeds. We are talking about karma. And karma means virtuous and non-virtuous. And non-virtuous, how many? non-virtuous deeds. How many? There are many. But in the text, they are roughly categorized into 10. 10 non-virtuous deeds. Who has not heard of this? Everybody has heard about 10 non-virtuous deeds? Everybody? Have you heard?
Yeah. He's taught it so many times.
Huh?
He'd be able to tell you. He's taught it to them so many times. They memorize it. Otherwise, they're horrible people.
Why don't you give a lecture on this?
No, we have so many times.
Oh, you mean so many times?
Many, many. Mambo. We've got seminars on it, we've got lectures on it. They know it. They can tell you.
They can tell you.
They better be able to.
Okay, let somebody tell us. Okay, we'll just mention. In Abhisamaya, Abhidharma Kosh, it says there are many, but roughly 10. Because the door, we say, of committing virtuous and non-virtuous deeds is 3, body, voice, and mind. 3 by body, 4 by voice, and again 3 by mind. Do you think we should go through this? Not necessary.
No, Amy can go through it in her class.
What?
Amy will do it. Mm-hmm.
You will do it?
Yeah, I'll do it in the CA class.
Okay. Fine. Okay, questions now.
Still some questions here from the day.
Yeah?
Yeah. We have 3 more.
3 more, okay.
Let's see. How does attachment nourish karma? How do we cut back on attachment in our everyday American lay lives?
Again?
How does attachment nourish karma? How do we cut back on attachment in our everyday American lay lives, lay person lives?
Lay person lives.
Yeah. Just lay people, how do they cut back on their attention, attachment?
Attachment, function of attachment is to first put the seed of act, right? Karma. And then, when it is, after some time, when it's time to ripen it, that previous attachment helps to revive or nourish, revives it, Sutapa. Revives it. So that way it goes on. How to cut back means what does it mean? Try to reduce, yeah. Just try to reduce. step by step. Next.
Next is, afflictions motivate action, but does karma also give rise to afflictions? Do all afflictions come from karma? Do we have free will?
Oh, afflictions from karma, Affliction brings the karma, okay? The question is, does karma is brought by affliction?
Does karma bring afflictions the opposite way?
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. Not the same affliction, but another kind of affliction. Yeah? If somebody goes for fishing on Sunday, nice day, and that is what? Due to affliction? Due to affliction attachment? Maybe not to eat fish, but just to enjoy the fishing. Or hunting, that is due to that attachment, the karma of killing, hunting, or fishing is brought. And because of that karma, more and more afflictions arise. Does that answer? Is it correct, Annie?
I think that's where the question was going. Someone had the idea that you would get conditioned by certain propensities, like if you're like angry.
Okay, if you get angry, that is affliction, and then you hit somebody.
Being angry gives rise to us doing it more times again. So the question was, could the karma lead to the affliction coming again?
The karma, which karma? In this case. Okay, I'm angry and I hit somebody, and then?
Will that give rise to more anger?
Oh, more anger. That I don't know. It need not be anger. It can bring affliction, but need not be anger. If I slap, I may be satisfied and I may not be angry anymore. Right? Next.
This one is just about you personally, about Rinpoche. What is an incarnate lama? How did you come to know that you were an incarnate lama? Did you remember your past lives?
Who was the question? Oh, okay. I don't remember my previous life. And since a very small childhood, I was told by everybody around that you are reincarnate. So this kind of thinking is stuffed in. So I think I am reincarnate of that particular Lama. And how does it work? I don't know. There are, you know, so many reincarnate Lamas in the history, and even now, maybe now more than before. How do they manage to multiple reincarnate? I have no idea. Yeah, we have one more question and then stop, and then we...
That's all the written questions anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you said the people who are left the place, grown up there by meritorious deeds to become celestial beings, I don't know if they were even feeling satisfaction in that, but if they're there and in that space of samadhi and all, you went further on to say that eventually they come back, but if they get tossed up into that space, do they have the good fortune of being able to choose to come back to be reborn to be good here as a human?
Normally not.
The question, you know, maybe you have to tell the people on the internet that. The question is, once somebody is reborn in the higher realms of the deities, do they then have the ability to choose to come back into the lower realm, I guess you would say, to the desire realm, perhaps?
Desire realm, form realm, and formless realm. They are three realms, right? So desire realm, we are in desiring. And certain celestial beings, they also belong to this desire realm, the lower part of the celestial being. They also belong. They enjoy food and they enjoy play and music and all that. That is within the desire realm. Above that, then they are just absorbed in meditation, samadhi, and they draw great pleasure, happiness. And then they are even higher. They are not interested even to that kind of happiness. They are just seeking to be what? I don't have a word. Panyam, yes, but there must be a better word.
There's got to be a better word, yeah.
I'm thinking that we're here to be helpful. Do they have that opportunity to come and do that?
They are not interested, generally.
They're not interested to be helpful.
They are not interested, but whatever goes up, it is law of nature, whatever goes up comes down. So they will, after a very long time, maybe, but they have to come down. In the desire realms of celestial being, there, of course, there are exceptions. If you go by the traditions, before taking the birth as a human being, Buddha Shakyamuni, he was in the desire realm of devas. Kanden, Tushita. He was there before coming down. He was one of the what? sons of king. And it's also said that the Lord Maitreya resides there in the form of devas, celestial being, right now. These are traditions, these are beliefs, and beliefs are beliefs, and it has its own meaning. Okay. Shall we stop here? Yeah, I think we can stop. Tomorrow is what? Chutti. I don't know what.
A break. Vacation tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Vacation. Holiday also. Do change.
What?
Memorial Day.
Oh, what? Soldiers. Oh, okay.
We have parades, everything.
Oh.
And they cook on outdoor grills.
They cook on?
Outdoor grills for
their
holiday.
Oh, yeah. A picnic. Hmm?
Yeah, we'll
have a picnic.
We'll do a
barbecue. okay. What is the date? What is the date of today?
Oh, tomorrow.
Today.
Today
is 24th. Today is 24th or 25th?
25th. So you have to get up 2 a.m. tonight to watch the inauguration.
No, I thought in Lapsum Chedub Ling, 25th comes first.
I meant 25th, yeah.
And then 24th.
You made a mistake. We said it to
you. Oh, you realized that? Okay. For the first time and last time.
We have to dedicate. I have to say our dedication. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds.
Now it's your time.
If anybody wants to have Tai Chi, they can do it. If you're anxious to get home, you can stand that too. It'll be easier to understand.
Easier to understand. To do what?
Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Easier to understand than Buddhist philosophy.